And I was just wondering if that is something that is a legitimate claim or not, if I'm rejecting something like the theory of evolution.
It absolutely can be. Now, you can say this is a slippery slope argument, but I mean, so just in general, do you think the world is a healthier, more productive, better place with science and if we trust and do science or without it?
Not necessarily in and of itself, no. There has to be something else. There
Yes,
has to be some sort of
I never said,
moral.
I know, I never said a world of only science. I just said a world with or without science.
A world with science would be better.
Sure. Now, the argument would be like, well, if we just choose to not believe in one of the sciences, but keep the rest, is that going to be bad, dangerous, etc.? So, I mean, I could say, I feel like you're like cherry picking one of them to be like, eh, throw it out or whatever. But I don't know, maybe you're like, well, look, that's just my personal belief. I have no problem with scientists doing research in evolution. I like if you were president of the world, would you ban evolution from being taught?
No, I probably not.
Probably not.
Sorry, my hold on just a second.
Yeah, it does sound better now.
My earphones went out. No, what I would want it to be, I think the full view of evolution should be taught. Everything, the bad and the good. Now, I don't know really what is taught in school today. It seems like they kind of just teach the skeletal remains of the theory that maybe I was taught when I was in school, because most people say they don't really teach about Darwin and the history of how the theory came about. But that's what I was taught in school. I don't know what to do today.
I teach a little bit of that, but very little. So we'll go back to that comment on bad versus good in a little bit here. So I assume you don't like communism, right?
No, I do not.
Do you know who Lysenko was? Or
No, I don't, can't
Lysenko?
say.
Was his first name Alexander? I'm trying to remember his name. Alexander Lysenko
Can't
was the
say
name.
that I do.
Lysenko, like I don't remember his. Let me look it up. He was what the hell was his name? Oh, Trofim. I don't know why I thought his first name was Alexander. So his first name was Trofim Lysenko. So he was one of Joseph Stalin's top science advisors, and he outright rejected evolution. And he because he didn't think evolution was in line with his particular, he wasn't religious, but with his particular political dogma of collectivism, socialism, whatever. So he thought that evolution was too reductionist and it couldn't really explain everything. And because he rejected it, he was in favor of particularly like these unscientific agricultural practices. So he encouraged, and they did this by force because it was basically a dictatorship. They forced farmers to grow multiple different kinds of crops really close together, because he thought, according to his political ideology, that the collectivist properties of the plants would like mesh together. I mean, they just rejected the modern sense of genetics and Darwinian evolution. And that is one of the biggest reasons that there was widespread famine and so many millions of people died. So I think that it can be dangerous, and I think we have a real world example of it because we have the world has too many problems, unique problems to solve, and we need a lot of people with a lot of perspectives putting the full weight and effort into it in order to try to solve these kinds of things, I think. And if we reject, you know, like I can give you a specific example of where rejecting evolution and replacing it with some other cockamamie, harebrained, idiotic idea literally kills people. And I mean, so if you said you wouldn't like be in favor of like banning evolution or anything, like it sounds like you wouldn't ban it in schools, and you wouldn't make it so like people can't get public research grants to study evolution, because that kind of those kinds of studies are important in the medical field and in, I don't know, in conservation and other places. I mean, if you wouldn't get rid of them, then I'm just like, oh, I mean, okay. But I do actually think that it would be dangerous to, you know, ban evolution. But like that person saying that like you're dangerous, I mean, I guess I wouldn't share that specific same sentiment.
Okay, well, let me ask you one more question. As a Christian, I've argued sometimes the minimum facts of the resurrection of Jesus with atheists. Oh. I like that argument from Gary Habermas. And I was told recently from an atheist, you should never accept something based off of minimum facts. And I was just saying, well, it may be the case that the facts are so strong that they can be minimal to make the conclusion. And he rejected that idea. And I knew he held to the theory of evolution. So I said, okay, so if that's the case, would it be reasonable to say that you can't assume evolution is true simply on endogenous retroviruses alone? And he actually agreed. He kind of had to because of what he was arguing. He was forced to. I don't know if he would have normally agreed with that, but I was just wondering what you thought about that. Is it reasonable to say that you can't demonstrate, you can't, and the argument from endogenous retroviruses alone is not reason enough for someone to believe evolution is true?
I would say if that was somehow the only thing we knew, then I guess I wouldn't say that there's no more research that needs to be done. But I would say that ERVs are among all the things we know, and there's just so much we know. I would say that probably is the strongest piece of evidence for specifically humans and chimps being most recent common ancestors, for them being the closest living thing to us. I would say genetics overall is the strongest piece of evidence, but it's not like genetics is this one thing. It's one word, but it encompasses literally all of biology in a sense. So like, I guess I would agree, but I think when people say ERVs are so strong, we're not saying that if we only knew one thing and it was that, then it would be settled. It's just the strongest piece of evidence that we do know.
Okay, so if you had, say, ERVs, maybe you had genetics, and then maybe you had something else, but they're only like just three facts there or something, you would say that in and of itself would be reasonable enough to conclude that the theory of evolution is true.
Yeah, because saying genetics is not like saying a minimum fact, because I don't remember what the minimum facts are. I think there are five of them, but those are individual like idiosyncratic.
They can range.
Yeah, but aren't they like singular? I don't want to get into like a deep discussion on them really, but they're like singular events or claims, right? Like, could you, well, you can tell just, me, tell me one, yeah, of them.
One of them is that it's a fact that the disciples, soon after Jesus was crucified, just days after, believed that they had what they perceived to be resurrection experiences of Jesus Christ speaking,
sure,
with them.
Sure. So yeah, that is 12 pieces of data. We can say that. It, right?
That alone is 12 pieces of data?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, 11, because Judas apparently killed himself. But so one thing is 11 pieces of data. We can say it that way. It's kind of goofy, but I think you know what I mean. Genetics.
Mean, yeah, like individual people make it,
yes,
claim, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So when we say genetics, and you'd be like, okay, well, that's only one thing. It's like, no, it's not one thing, because we've tested the genes of, I don't know, but it's certainly thousands of organisms. It's probably tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. So what it actually is an entire like catalog of data points. It just falls under one field. So I've only ever heard this like once before, where like, you know, I said like genetics, and somebody was like, okay, well, that's only one thing. Like, well, it's not only one thing, not really.
Okay, well, I think, and one last thing here, do you, what are your thoughts? I've heard a lot of atheists say stuff like, you should only believe things that can be falsified. Do you think that's a reasonable position for anyone to have?
How do I want to say this? I don't blame people for having beliefs that are like maybe like in principle unfalsifiable. I don't think that that's necessarily like illogical. You could say it's illogical, I guess, but it comes natural to us. So I don't fault or blame people for that. But when you go around telling other people, I know what happens after I die, then I'm like, yeah, you have no recourse for making that claim with the confidence that you are espousing it. So I would say it in that way, I agree, but not exactly in the way they put it.
So if someone would just say, I have confidence in my belief that when you die, you go to heaven or something like that, that would be reasonable. But to just say, when you die, you go to heaven is, you would say is, you wouldn't agree with, right?
So I wouldn't say it's reasonable. I don't blame people for having those kinds of beliefs.
It's reasonable to state it. It's reasonable to at least state it that way, because you're not really making a claim necessarily. You're just talking about your beliefs, right? I mean, are beliefs, yeah, claims? I mean, I guess they're claims in the sense of, I claim to believe.
They're a Jesus type of Christ claim, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're not the claim in which someone would demand some sort of evidence, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's really just all I was wanting to ask.
I mean, I wanted to ask you some questions, though. But if you can't stick around, then I mean, I guess I get it.
Sure, I can. You can ask me a couple questions.
I'm so curious. I'm so curious about your profile picture, but we'll get to that at the end if we have time. But when you said, I think in evolution they should teach the bad and the good, what do you mean?
Well, I think when Darwin wrote Origin of Species, and then later on when he wrote Descent of Man, he said some things in Descent of Man appealing to scientists of that day, when he was talking about things like races of humans.
And yeah, he was racist. He thought yeah, like Aboriginals weren't very intelligent.
Yeah, and that there was a bigger divide between like Aborigines and Caucasians than there was like the Aborigine and a lower ape. He thought that was a big gap.
So, I don't think he thought that. He thought the gap between Africans and our common ancestor was less than it was between, like, for example, a white person and our common ancestor. He didn't think blacks and other apes were more closely similar than they are to other humans. He definitely didn't think that. There were people that had thought things like that, and we know that that's wrong. I don't have a problem with like admitting that in the classroom. Because I think it's important to look back at what we got wrong in science and why it's wrong, and how science, because that was corrected by doing more and better science. What's funny about this, though, is that you're advocating in a way for social justice by saying that.
Social justice.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with social justice. I don't know what you mean by that, though.
If you don't have a problem with it, it's fine. It's just typically people with these kinds of beliefs. They're like against schools trying to like intervene in ways like that. But that's kind of funny.
Well, I that's the whole issue. I think if since the schools are intervening, I would say there's no sense in cherry picking their interviction. They may as well just go all out and, you know, I mean, even teach stuff. I remember studying about particular people like Karl Marx as well, but he was kind of studied in a good light when I was in school, and just say, hey, these are some of the beliefs he had, and kind of teach the good with the bad. And I just don't I don't see that. Well, that didn't happen when I was in school. Of course, that was a long time ago. I don't even know if they're even getting into it as much in school today. But I remember going into pretty good detail about Darwin, because I remember about the Galapagos Islands and things like that, and Karl Marx. I'm not sure if they do that today or not, but they were always kind of painted as kind of almost heroic, kind of almost like paving the way for advancement of society and stuff. And I never realized some of this stuff actually until I got older and I heard it. And then I went and looked at it. I was like, wow, I this was never taught. So I would like that. I think the public school system should acknowledge that kind of stuff. And I don't think they do a good job of doing that.
My view of it is if a teacher wants to do that, then, you know, that's on them. I have done it some years. I don't, because we just have so much to, I don't think it should be like technically part of the curriculum. I mean, as a teacher, you have latitude to do things and bring up specific stories of whatever you want. You just have to cover what is like required by like the standards or whatever. But the issue with this is, Darwin was a racist person by our standards. By his standards, he was basically progressive. But whatever he thought about that has no bearing on whether or not evolution is true. So I don't view it as being a necessary truth to cover, like by any means. I mean, like if I'm going to teach, you know, American history, like I don't know how you feel about taking down Confederate statues, or if we teach American history that we should teach the horrors of slavery and that Andrew Jackson was a fucking asshole. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that stuff, but a lot of people think that it's necessary to do that. But teaching civics and history and government is so much different than just the very matter of fact nature of what the scientific facts are.
Well, maybe it could be something it could kind of be taught in history, because I think we'd have to agree that Darwin has influenced a lot of social ideas. He was very influential on Karl Marx. So these ideas that he come up with did kind of spill out into, you know, things like social Darwinism and things like that.
Yeah, well, actually, funny enough, the idea, it got called social Darwinism later, but eugenics and things like that, I always forget the guy's name. But the guy who sort of wrote the very first book about social Darwinism or whatever, he wrote that book before Charles Darwin published On the Origin of Species. So the idea behind eugenics, which was alcoholics, people who are mentally ill, whatever, don't let them have children, and then the and then alcoholism and schizophrenia and whatever will disappear from the population. That idea actually predates Darwin. And there were some people that perverted Darwin's ideas to suggest that now we have a scientific backup for this idea. But again, eventually science proved that all of those claims are completely false.
Yeah, I actually think.
But also the socialists didn't like Darwin. A lot of the communists, they did not like Darwin. In the USSR, it was illegal to, I mean, they literally rounded up and executed biologists for not denying the theory of evolution. And in Nazi Germany, Hitler was such a liar on top of being a piece of shit person. And we don't really know what he believed in. But we do know that I don't know if it ever actually became something that got put into practice. But they did have lists of banned books, and evolutionary, like books that espoused Darwinian evolution, were put on the list of books that were banned. I have more detail about this in my book. I don't have it memorized or anything, but So,
well, that's interesting because I know that he said some things that were very evolutionary like in some of his speeches and stuff.
But if I said God told me we need to kill all of the whatever's, that's not on Christianity, I wouldn't say. And I bet you would agree. Well, and because somebody else does this with science, I wouldn't say that that's on science or on Darwin or anything like that.
I do know there's specific people here who actually make that argument, though. A guy by the name of Taylor Teaches, he actually blames Hitler's ideology on Christianity. And he'll go through kind of just this long list where he tries to throw Christianity under the bus for what Mustache Man did, for what Jim Jones did, for lots of other
Jim stuff. Jones? Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Jim Jones was. I did a deep dive on Jim Jones. He was a radical social progressivist, and he believed in God and stuff like that. I think he claimed to be Jesus maybe at one point too.
Yeah, I think he tried to claim to be the second coming Jesus or some sort of Messiah type figure.
Yeah, he was a raving socialist and communist, and actually, something like 60% of the people, or actually, I think it was more than that. I think close to 70% of the people in his church were African American, and African American women outnumbered African American men 2-1, because his preaching was all about like social acceptance and bringing people in, which is actually very much in line with Jesus's teachings in the Gospels. So it's just kind of funny.
Yeah, he did try to mix the teachings of Christ with his social ideology. Right. So that's true. But I think, when you have someone like Taylor Teaches who just blames this on Christianity, and I just think that to me shows ignorance, his incredible ignorance on history. But anyway, I am going to have to go now. So I will tell you my name. You wanted to know about my profile picture or my name?
No, the profile picture.
Well, the profile picture, it was just when Donald Trump had said, they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs. And then and then I just started seeing all these pictures of Donald Trump where he's protecting cats and protecting dogs or ducks. And people are talking about ducks being eaten. And I just saw that one day. I just thought it was funny because he's got his arms kind of embracing them, protecting them from those that are trying to eat them. So I just put it up there.
You know that that story was something. You know that story was bullshit, though, right?
Well, I mean, I did hear some individual people talking about the ducks and stuff being eaten at the parks.
I'm not sure on. Some people think that you should just be free to do that and there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I've had duck, it's good, but
well, I have two actually have myself. I hunt, but I thought it was something that they really, I think, made a big deal out of, and it was probably how much truth is to it. I'm not real sure, but I would
dogs and the cats part was 0% true.
Well, I actually have heard from people who actually had been to Haiti and actually done mission work, and they said that there is this culture in which that is the case where they do that in there. So whether it's the case they were doing it or not,
maybe Donald the founding fathers ate dogs. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. But
dog was actually people did not shy away from eating dogs like in colonial times in America. Yeah. It lasted actually for quite some time. People didn't want to, but they were like, oh no, nothing wrong with eating dogs.
But I think. Yeah, but Donald Trump, he'll say a lot of hyperbolic statements, and the funny thing is that it's like
lies.
That they actually then it like when he does that, it's like then that becomes what people start focusing on. They start looking into it, and then you have people coming out. Well, yeah, there we do have a problem here, and it may not be exactly what he says, but it's like I don't know if he does this to troll or just it just happens, but it becomes kind of a magnification of what was going on. And then you have people on both sides debating it back and forth. So it becomes front and center. So whatever he was planning on doing by that, or he was just throwing it out there willy-nilly, I'm not sure, but it did kind of cause a stir for a while.
Yeah, unfortunately.